All right, fooled us today, huh? Great singing. All right, let's tune in here today. We're going to be in Psalm chapter number 73. Over the past few weeks, a couple months, I've been in a series called Just the Simple Christian Life, just looking at some different thoughts. I believe that that although there's difficulties and struggles in times like that, really living the Christian life is simple. I think God makes it very, 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 he lays it out for us in very simplistic terms, and just some things I think that would help us. Today I want to look at a thought from Psalm chapter number 73. I heard someone say that the two greatest needs that we have as individuals, as people, first one is significance. Significance. People want to know that they matter. People want to know that there's more to this life than just existing, okay? That there's a purpose to what we're doing. When we go through something, there's a purpose behind it. It's not just random. That's important because it's very important because we have to find our significance in God. Because if it's attached to anything else, there's no guarantee that it has real value, that it has real purpose. But when our life is attached to the Lord and we're getting our significance because we are one of his children, then we know that everything else is going to be right and we won't seek significance somewhere else. The second thing I want to kind of hone in is we also want security. We want to know what is going on, and we want to be able to make sense of what is going on and to make sure that we'll be taken care of and things will turn out right, and in a sense that there is a justice and things will be done correctly. These two things, as I mentioned, are offered by God. Do you know you have significance because you are God's creation? And if you are saved, you have significance really because you are God's child. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. You're not just random. You're not some accident, okay? You're not, you know, sometimes parents have children and say, well, you know, we weren't planning on you. You were just an accident, okay? Our last child, Emily, the doctor told us, you know, we had her like a long space after our last one. Doctor said, you can't have children anymore. He lied, okay? It's like, then what do you call that, all right? I'm like, you were not an accident, Emily, but you definitely were a surprise, okay? And a good surprise. Yeah. But you're not an accident. You're not a, God knew you. God has something in mind for you. And you need to attach yourself to God to find that ultimate significance. The same thing is true of security. We have security as a result of our relationship with God. The problem is, if we don't realize that, and where we're going to go today is, we try to find our security in stuff. You can't find security in stuff. That just kind of goes, that's just random chance. I know God's in charge of it. Security comes from God. That's why, and I've mentioned it before, that God says that money is a competing God. You cannot serve two masters, okay? You'll love the one and hate the other, and then he applies this to one thing. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so our security is to be found in God, but we can become insecure when we look around at others and we see what they have compared to what we have. And it can really become a problem when we start to think that, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm serving God. Here's this person over here. They may not be a Christian. They may not be serving God. And it seems like they have security. They have everything. And I'm struggling. So we become insecure. I want us to see that today. Psalm chapter 73 was written by Asaph. Asaph was a Levite who were the tribe chosen by God to be servants, full-time servants for him. Of the Psalms, he wrote 12 of them, and he was David's song leader. This is what he did. This was someone who was, in essence, really a spiritual leader. But if you read this chapter, you see that he starts to have some problems. He is troubled by the apparent prosperity and success that wicked people have. By that, we would mean those who were opposed to God, those who were enemies of God, those who had no desire for God, those who really, in many instances, they were anti-God. And yet Asaph looked at their life and like, how come everything is going well for him? It bothered him. Arrogant, ungodly people seem to live comfortable, carefree lives. Why God's people, the righteous people, face suffering and hardship. That caused him to look at his life insecurely. He questions the fairness of God. He starts feeling envious. Let's look at a few verses here. Verse 3, he says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." In other words, here he is, a servant of God, a full-time servant of God, with a spiritual place of leadership, and he said, "I'm looking at these people that have nothing to do with God, and they have prosperity, and so now I am envious of them. I'm jealous." You say, why is that a problem? We're going to see. He became confused about the value of maintaining his own faith and purity. That's the problem. Does it really pay to serve God? Is it really to my best interest to live a righteous life? Look at verse 12. He said, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." And then verse 13, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." Do you see what he's saying there? He said, he's looking at what's going on and he becomes so insecure. He goes, "You know what? Living right and doing right, it's been a waste of my time." Big time, ouch. That's what happens when we get our eyes on others. That's what happens when we start to believe that that stuff is the most important thing in life. How bad did it get? He almost slipped away from the godly life. Look back at verse 2, because he started out the psalm like this. Before he tells you what was going on, he tells you where he was at. He says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." He goes, "I was just about out of here. I was about to give up on God. I was about to hit the eject button." Verse 16. And then he looked at the stress that it caused him. "When I thought to know this," it's too painful for me. He was so confused. He thought a person who lived a wicked life, who had no regard for God, was secure simply because of the things that they had and the money they possessed. Now, one thing he did to help us out, he gave us the first verse of the chapter, so we know that as we're looking at the story, we're not listening to a suicidal man, we're listening to someone who eventually figured it out, right? Look at verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to those, that, even to such as are of a clean heart." So before we get into this, he's like, "Hey, look, you're going to realize that I'm going a little sideways here, but I figured it out." He said, "I did get to the right conclusion. God is truly good." But he's going to share with us his thoughts that were wrong. He did get it right. Look at verse 27. He says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee." He finally understood that, listen, they can have everything they want in this life, but if they don't get it right, when they get to the end of their life, it's not going to be good. Verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare thy works." Here's the message. If security in our life is very important, and if Asaph, someone that God used to write the scriptures, could almost stumble in his faith because of a lack of it, then you and I must be very careful about it. say, well, Pastor, I don't really run in rich circles, you know, but you see people in your entertainment, and they make it that if you have all the stuff of this life, everything's going to be good. You see people post on social media, and by the way, they don't post their problems, right? You know, they post the fancy things they're doing and all that nonsense, and all we do is see snippets of what make you think that they have ultimate joy in life. But that's all it is a snippet. It's not life. And if we're not careful, we look at all this stuff we're bombarded with, and it causes us to question, is it really worth it to just serve God? Is it really worth it to try to line my life up with the Word of God? And so I want you to see a few things, six reasons from this chapter. Don't do the mental math. They're all quick. Why we can have security in God and not in the prosperity of this world. Because Asaph did get it right. He wasn't just, God didn't just say, here, just take this psalm off and just gripe, okay? Just, you know, we'll just throw it. He's teaching us something. So what's he teaching us? Number one, he's teaching us that we ought to embrace God's presence. Look at verse 23. He starts to figure it out. He's like, nevertheless, that's a change word. Like, right? I'm changing direction now. Nevertheless, I'm going from what I was saying, and I'm going to flip the script, and I'm going to go somewhere else with it. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. He understood that he had something that was of far more value than anybody in this world has, regardless of how much money they have in the bank, how many people know them, how big their house is, how nice their car is, and how everything looks to those on the outside. He said, I have something that is intrinsically better than any of these things. I am continually with God. I have a relationship with God, and that is far more important than anything you can have. You know what the problem is, though? We all believe that until push comes to shove. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at all of us. We all say, yeah, you know, of course, my number one thing in my life is a relationship with God. And then we take off and do everything that says that that statement isn't true. You know, first thing, I just got to be right on point with Jesus. And then you forget him the rest of the day. See, what happens is, if we forget him the rest of the day, we're going to be apt to have these kind of thoughts. You see, everything's good about your relationship with God until you have a problem. Now we're going to find out, is it true? Are you really connected to God? Or is everything, is that really the most important thing in life to you? He who is continually with him. We need to get to the point where we see our Christianity as the most important thing in our lives, regardless of anything else. Amen. That's just it. See, what we do is we want all these different things in life. But there are things that you can only have if you have that right relationship with God. We just got back from the couples retreat, and Brother Gray alluded to it on the last lesson he gave us. Like, you know, listen, if you want to have a great marriage, you get that by having a great relationship with God. Because if you have a great relationship with God and you find out from the Bible how you're supposed to treat people, you'll treat your spouse like that. But we get off kilter and we don't realize that, listen, as Asaph looked around, he looked at all these people and everything they had, and he made some very foolish statements. They don't have trouble as other men. That's not true. Yes, they do. Everybody has problems. But his eyes were off there, and he realized finally, listen, I do have the greatest thing you can have. I have a relationship with God. And there'll come a time when nothing you have is going to help you in life. That's the most important thing. So we have to have security. I'm continually with me. He uses a phrase there, thou hast, in one of the verses, thou hast holden me by thy right hand. You know, like you have your children, you're walking somewhere. They're secure if you're in a crowd or whatever. How are they going to be secure when they have your hand? When do they lose security? When that relationship is, right? How many of you have ever, I'm sure you found them, but lost a child temporarily, right? Right? It doesn't take long because the second they turn around and like, they start freaking out. They see all the people and they don't see dad or mom and they start screaming. But you hold their hand, that's representative of, hey, I'm here. I got you. You're secure. You're with me. And as Asaph walks through life, God's like, hey, hold my hand. We got this. You have problems, I'm here. And Hebrews tells us that he never leaves us or forsakes us. So we have to embrace God's presence if we're going to have security. Secondly, we have to follow God's truth. Look at verse number 24. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. He will guide us with his counsel as we travel in this world. See, we want to make it through everything that's going on, but when we get to the point where we think that we need stuff or we need other things or we need really, let's just be honest, we need anything apart from God to get through life, that's where you're going to have a problem. The world will step up and tell you what they think you need to do to be happy, right? Well, years ago, they used to have the ignorant phrase, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. How many of you remember that? Well, I'm thinking, number one, you died. Number two, what did you win? There are no prizes for dying. Okay? And number three, I always think, who gets the toys now? Your wife's new husband. He gets those toys. Okay? It's like, that's ignorant. I don't wanna, you know, it's following God's truth. Don't let the world tell you all this nonsense. He started to buy into the world's mindset that life isn't about relationships, life's about stuff, and life is not about stuff. We have to follow God's truth. The problem with those who have an abundance of riches is not that they have abundance of riches, it's that they start to trust in those riches. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 6 says. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. That means proud. Nor trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He says, look, if God has blessed you and you have things, you better be careful because what happens, now you're proud. Yeah. And now you start to trust in your stuff and that stuff starts to compete with your God. You just have to realize that whatever you have in your life, that's all it is. It's just stuff. And it's stuff that God has given to you, but your relationship and the most important thing is God over here. And so we need God's help. How do we get that? We follow his truth. He guides us into all wisdom. Don't think just because things are going well right now, they'll always go well. Don't think just because you think you have your life all figured out and I've taken these five steps and it seems to be going okay, everything's going to go okay. It's only going to go okay as you follow God's path for your life. And God will guide us. Are we committed to following his truth? It doesn't matter what you have. It matters who are you following. Follow the Lord. Follow his truth. Next, look at verse 25. He says, understand God's exclusiveness. He looks and goes, in verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. The problem was he was starting to desire things of this earth more than the God of heaven. And guess what? Can I just tell you something? God does not like that. At all. If you look in the Old Testament, when God's people started going away from God and buying into idols, God equated that with adultery. He said, you're supposed to have a relationship with me and you're over here with an idol. That's like cheating on God. And God wants us to have an exclusive relationship with him. See, that's why everything in this life, if we're not careful, can come between us and God. And God says, that's not how it works. You're having an exclusive relationship with me, and nothing is to come between you and me.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. We look at all this other stuff, and it gets our attention or our focus off of God, and we start to drift away from God, and God says, that's not how it works. He goes, whom have I in heaven? God. He realized finally, like, look at the most important thing I have is you in heaven, and nothing on this earth can replace that. Do you have that type of relationship with God? Well, Pastor, I don't worship an idol. I know you don't. But is there anything that you'll put in front of God? People will put all kinds of stuff in front of God. You know, they'll put their you know, well, you know, my kid's going to play sports, and now their soccer game's on Sunday. If you choose to go there, then guess what? You just created a God. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. We had someone come one time. They were at our church, and they came to our house, and they said they were a missionary somewhere, and then Sunday they weren't here at church. I'm like, what was that all about? Oh, their child had a karate contest today. So they all like, what? Excuse me? Okay. I'd rather my kid lose, forfeit. We put these things in front of God. Say, well, it's not really in front of God. It is when it starts taking time away from God. It is when it takes your focus away from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying none of these things are necessarily wrong. They become wrong when we put them in the place of God and they take us away from God.
There you go. Amen.
And that's almost what was happening to him. So, well, Pastor, God's the priority of my life. Well, it's not because you say it. It's not because you feel it. It's because God gets your time, he gets your talents, and he gets your treasures. Number four, if we're going to have God's security, we need to receive God's strength. Look at verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'm glad he got there. I'm glad he's like, man, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to leave. He finally realized, you know, the only strength I'm ever going to have to get through anything is God. That's why I said earlier, he was the mistaken that the rich did not have problems, they did not have trials, they did not have health issues and all these different things. And he made it sound like everything was honky-dory. Can I just tell you something? As I mentioned earlier, everybody has problems. You know what the difference is between a Christian and someone who's not a Christian? As a Christian, we go through the problems with God, and they have meaning, and they have significance, and God uses it in our life. If we don't have problems, if we don't have God, we just go through the problems.
Yeah.
I want to know when I'm going through something that God is there. I want to know that when I'm going through something that God can use it for something. And then I want to know that God can get me through it. You know, we use a verse in James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth the man giveth abundantly. Do you know what the context of that chapter is? Trials. That's what he's talking about. It's like we have trials and we have times we're going through some problem. It's like, man, God, I need wisdom. I need you to help me right now. And isn't it nice to know he's there? We haven't, you get that distance. You see, what we do is we save that until we save our relationship with God until the problem shows up. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I haven't talked to God in forever. Let me run over here now because I have a problem. I prefer to be close so that we're already there. And I want his strength. I don't want to just get through it. You can go through it. Think of everything that Job went through. Job said some amazing things. Let me just quote a few of them and we'll move on. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's like he got it. He got it. Number five, believe his justice. Now, I want to explain this because I don't want you to think I'm being mean-spirited. Look at verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. What he's basically saying is, there is a payday for everything we do, good or bad. We look at that person that seems to have everything this world has to offer, and I don't want to say it like this, like they're going to get theirs from God. I hope they meet God. I hope they come to know Jesus Christ. I hope God changes their life. But sometimes there's wicked and evil people, and it's like, why do they get away with everything? Can I just tell you something? They're not. Just because they drive a nice car doesn't mean they're going somewhere. Just because they live in a big house doesn't mean they have a happy home. Fact of the matter is, you know how it is. Most of them don't. They don't. Why do people that have all this money commit suicide? Because all they had was money and nothing else in life. Well, they got all this stuff and all this, and they can't even keep their marriages together. See, we put the wrong skew. And I'm not saying I rejoice in that. You understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying we're reading a book and we're not seeing the last chapters. We're going to stand before God, and you know what? It's going to be okay.
Yep.
We serve God. It's like we're never going to we'll never stand before God and say, you know what? Man, I spent too much time with him.
No.
Man, I trusted him too much. No one's ever going to say that. God is right. And his justice will be served. Nobody's getting away with anything.
Amen.
And then lastly, enjoy God's closeness. Verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all his works. You know what he says? He went through this. Read the chapter when you go home. I don't have time to read all of it. You should read all the statements. And when he gets in, he goes, man, it's good to serve God.
Amen.
I'm enjoying this. Yeah, they may do this. They may have that. It seems like, you know, they get away with stuff. And I hate injustice and nonsense of that nature. They're not getting away with anything. But you know what? Let's just enjoy God. We have a great opportunity, and yet we waste it by thinking of everything we don't have. And putting our eyes on people who we admire for the wrong reasons. By the way, look. If you can throw a ball in a basket, don't tell me how to live. Just because you can pretend to be somebody on a screen doesn't mean you have the right to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I think I'll just follow God's truth.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to enjoy my relationship with God. And you'll have people out there, oh, you know. You know, I got it going on over here. Okay, yeah, right. You got nothing going on anywhere. The greatest thing you can do in life is just serve God. Just serve God. This life, it's ups and downs. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. We got things we got to deal with. Can I just tell you something? It's so much easier dealing with them when you have God on your side. It's so much easier dealing with them like, Lord, here we go, let's do this. Enjoy God's presence. Enjoy serving the Lord. Don't see, most people see, you know, Christianity is like spiritual, it's like spiritual broccoli. I kind of like broccoli. Let's pick one. Like spiritual eggplant. Like it's on the plate, got to eat it. Like I'm not eating eggplant, I'm sorry. But it's like, it's not like that. This is the life. This is where the joy comes from. This is where the blessing is. This is where significance comes from. This is where my security comes from. And thank God he wants to have a relationship with me. So what's the point? Let's quit looking around. Let's say, hey, I don't care what's going on around me. I'm more concerned with what God's doing in me. I'm not concerned with what others have or what's going on in their life. I'm concerned on my spiritual life with God. That's where the key is this morning. If we could bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, please. Thank you for listening. We went a little bit fast this morning. Now let me ask you this, in the quietness of your heart there. Do you really see a relationship with God and living for Jesus Christ? Do you really see that as the greatest use of your time? Do you really see it as the greatest use of your life? Do you really see it as the way? Or do you look around? You know, they should. That's like the old picture, right? The kids are outside playing football, and here's the kid behind the piano doing piano practice and looking out the window, feeling like he's losing out. That's how most Christians are. Well, you know, my life would have been better if I didn't follow God. I could have had this job or that, blah, 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 blah. Like, really? Following God's the life. Following God's the way. Enjoying His presence. How's that working for us this morning? And I'm talking to a crowd, including myself, that are susceptible to this. Because Asaph was. He wrote scripture. None of us wrote scripture. And if people in the Bible are susceptible to this, so are we. But we have to remember how good we have it with God. And that the greatest thing I can do is have a relationship with God. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. Before we do, I want to ask you this. Do you even have that opportunity to have a relationship with God? In other words, are you one of God's children? Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? You say, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today and go to heaven. In fact, I have some doubt. I don't have a reason why I'd go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. If you're like that this morning with nobody looking around, say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know for sure, but that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, pray for me. Anybody like that hand? Anybody like that? I'll just quickly raise your hand. I'll pray for you. I'll see it. Come on. In the back there. Yes. Right over here. Yes. Gotcha. Back here. Let's stand together if we may. Are we starting to get jealous of those who don't know the Lord? Is there anything that's coming in our life that we're starting to feel is more important and more valuable than a relationship with God? Because I can tell you, it's not. From the truth of the scripture and just the testimony of my life, I don't regret for a second why I decided to follow the Lord and just live my life for Him. Maybe there's some adjustments we need to make this morning. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you all, why don't you come to this altar? Do some business with God.